Welcome back to the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. This is Elizabeth and Jillian.
Hi.
So, guys, Jillian and I are really tired this week. We went to a Lady Gaga concert, and she was 2 hours late.
Some bullshit that was. Let's talk about the Lady Gaga concert.
We should talk about it, because it was good, but she was fucking 2 hours late, so we didn't...
But this is the thing about the 2 hours late. She wasn't 2 hours late to the venue.
Well, that's true.
She was just 2 hours late to the stage.
That is absolutely
checking
true.
Checking Lady Gaga's Snapchat, who I follow, revealed her saying, like, the fans don't know I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we don't, because you're not on the stage.
Yeah, that was really the mindfuck, because she was 2 hours late to the stage, which means we didn't get home until 2 a.m.
Yeah, and it's been a hard recovery. Like,
yeah, we had to go to work the next day.
Yeah, and that was my first day back after surgery, so I literally slept not at all, hours.
It was rough.
It was not good, and so we're still catching up from that, and that was, you know, Tuesday night, so.
I mean, her concert was, I mean, she's a talent that you can't touch.
100%.
So, I mean, I love her.
Yeah, the concert, but honestly, if I'm going to be honest about it, expect more theatrics.
Yes, we discussed
this. And more, you know, show-stopping from Lady Gaga that I didn't get. Yes, my favorite moment of the entire concert is her at the piano, nothing else.
Yeah, that was amazing when she was singing just at the piano by herself with no dancing, just her.
No other music, just her and that piano. Can't beat it. Was like, I
goosebumps.
Was literally transfixed.
Yes. I did think that the concert was missing a lot of theatrics because, I mean, one of our best friends has gone to a Gaga concert. She's like, oh, my God, it's so over the top and amazing, and you're just so entertained. But it wasn't like that. I mean, she had a copious amount of wardrobe changes.
Yeah.
That took a shit ton long time.
Which, frankly, if you're 2 hours late to the stage, you can wear the same outfit all night.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
Cut those out.
Yes. Oh, my God. It took so long.
Yeah. No, it was, like, crazy. But definitely worth seeing. I would definitely
see.
And I will see her again
someday.
Oh,
hell yeah.
I'd like to do it, like, you know, you and I had discussed in
Vegas
and just make it a party.
Yeah, because getting up the next day for work was no good for us.
Not good at all.
I am not the spring chicken I once was. Jeez.
You know, like we also discussed, staying out till 2 a.m., that was a feat.
Yeah, that was something for us.
That was an accomplishment.
I mean, I can't even remember the last time I've stayed on that late.
I know, it's crazy. So, let's just jump right into it.
Let's do it.
This week, Rachel picked her man.
She did, guys! The Bachelorette. So, it was a 3-hour episode of The Bachelorette.
Mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling.
I watched all 3 hours.
Jesus.
My mom and I watched it together. And I will say that it was very intense and very long. Like, that's a dedication, 3 hours.
That's literally the entire primetime lineup. That's you
right.
Watch TV and you go to bed.
No, that's exactly what happened. And I was, like, holding on to that 3rd hour. I was so tired. But so we know that Rachel chose Brian, the, you know, I think he's Colombian, too.
I think I heard that.
He's Colombian.
I do not watch the show again, as a disclaimer.
He's from Miami. He's a chiropractor. He's also the man that has a very interesting relationship with his mother.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he broke up with his last girlfriend because of his mother.
I think I recall hearing that about the family visit.
Yes.
And the mother was being giving very stern warnings.
She was.
To Rachel.
She was. So she picked him because usually what happens on The Bachelor or Bachelorette is the last episode, the man or woman has 2 suitors left to choose between, and it's very dramatic, and you're on a cliff somewhere with a castle in the background, and you don't know who she's gonna pick, so you're waiting bated breath. One guy walks up, she breaks up with him, then the other guy comes around the corner and she gets with him. Well, that did not happen this episode. The night before the final rose ceremony, she got into a fight, so to speak, with the second man she chose, Peter. And basically, he told her that he wanted to continue dating her, but he didn't want to become engaged, that he would not be getting down on one knee at the end of this, but he wanted to see where it could go. Rachel wanted that ring. She wanted the engagement, and she made that clear to him. And he told her that if she chose the other guy, she would lead a mediocre life.
What was the stats on this other guy, the guy that she was fighting with?
I mean, he's like 30-something. He's very attractive, too. I don't think he had a prominent career like Brian. Like, Brian has this very successful chiropractic business in Miami. I think he was like a software salesman or something.
So that sounds pretty mediocre to me, yeah. If I'm going to be honest.
And so she basically said, fuck you, and they broke up. And she walked away, and she didn't have to tell anyone the day of the rose. She just got engaged to her man.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and
I like being direct to the point. She's an attorney, right?
She is very direct to the point. She reminds me a lot of you. She's no nonsense, no bullshit. She actually reminds me a lot of you. She just is a straight shooter. And so on the after the rose, that is the best part, is when Rachel gets to meet up with the last couple guys she didn't choose. And Peter came out, and he was very forlorn and just so sad. And apparently he had tried to reach back out to her after they had broken up.
Nice.
And she said no.
She shut that down.
She shut that down. So I think she made the right decision for her. I was really excited. He was the front runner. She gave him the first impression rose on the first night. He was the first guy she kissed. So there, he was always there, always connecting with her. So,
well, that's good.
Hope they make it.
Well, you know, the odds are not great for them.
That's true. I think there's only been like 5 or 6 couples that have made it down the aisle.
Yeah.
And stayed together out of the 30 some odd seasons.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck.
We'll see what happens.
Now that that's over, they're going to move into, you know, The Bachelor in Paradise, which you'll remember was a little scandalous and producers have said that minute one, as soon as this show hits the air, they're dealing with Corinne and DeMario.
Which I think they have to, because that was such a clusterfuck, and so much was said about it that we just didn't know, like, oh, he picked her lifeless body up out of the jacuzzi and forcefully gave her head.
It was just
very weird stuff. And then come to find out, oh, no, none of that happened at all. So I think they definitely have to readdress it and get it out there first thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the only way to deal with it. So it should be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know you're very excited.
I love this show, guys. I love it. And I love that they have to sign a consent form to have sex with each other. And they have like vouchers to get drinks, 2 drinks an hour.
Yeah, because they don't want to avoid this scenario going forward, which I completely understand.
Well, yeah, you got to cover those rape bases.
You got to cover the rape bases. Let that be a lesson to you fuckers out there.
I'm just saying.
Great. More relationship news. Sad news. Chris Pratt and Anna Faris are separating. That's not the big D. They're not divorced yet or divorcing. The allegation is that they had completely different views on family.
Right.
She wanted this very nuclear family that they were always together, and that was just not possible with him being the box office smash that he has become since being Andy Dwyer or being on Everwood and all those small chubby roles he used to have.
It's so sad, though. Like, as soon as I got the update from my CNN blast, because that's the kind of news I get from CNN, guys. Celebrity gossip.
It's really hardcore.
It's really hardcore. I immediately texted Jillian and I was like, oh my God. And, you know, you had just shared that on my Facebook wall.
Yeah, exactly. Because we feel the same way. It's so depressing. They were such a great couple. And it's like, even worse, because they didn't break up because he cheated or she cheated.
Right.
They were abusive or drinking or whatever. It was literally like there was just like an everyday American problem that they just couldn't resolve.
And you can tell that there's love there. I just want them to get back together and have more kids and live a happily ever after life. Like, if they can't make it, come on, people. Let's get them back together.
I totally agree.
We need to start like a hashtag, like get Anna Faris.
I'm sure we wouldn't be the first one. They're so popular.
They really are.
And then like all these articles are coming out now. Anna Faris just like the most depressing tweet, and it's gonna make you cry.
Ugh.
And then it didn't really make me cry. It was like the tweet she liked was like, the worst thing about divorce is not having someone to yell at when the printer jams. And then she liked it, and people were freaking out, so all that's left to come. But people had alleged that the reason that they broke up was Jennifer Lawrence.
Right.
Who was his co-star in Passengers, which is a movie I really liked, but not a lot of people did.
I haven't seen it. I want to see it still. I think it looked good.
Yeah, I liked it. We went and saw it on Christmas Day. Like, it was
You did. That's right.
Yeah, like at like 10 o'clock on Christmas night, my husband and I are like, let's just go see Passengers. Why not? Went in my pajamas. It was fine.
You do what you gotta do.
But I like that movie. Anyway, not the point of the story, but Jennifer Lawrence has come out now and says she has a boyfriend. So, like, it's not her. She's not the reason. She wants to dispel the rumors. It's not, you know, Angelina and Brad, who now are also
reconciling,
not going forward with their divorce at this time.
Right.
Apparently he's stopped drinking. He's, you know, making amends.
Well, I mean, when your kids don't want to be around you because of your behavior, that's something.
That's a wake-up call, I would say.
I do. So maybe that changed it for him. Maybe he was like, you know what, fuck, I gotta put the bottle down. I gotta work on me, and he's gotten his shit together. And maybe that's enough for Angelina to be like, okay, let's get back together.
I mean, I feel like they really love each other. Like, I feel like I've read, like, a lot of interviews with, or some interviews with her since then, and reports and whatnot, and that she's just, like, devastated.
Oh, absolutely. I think that she lived and breathed for Brad Pitt and her family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think, I would not be surprised if they got back together.
No, I wouldn't be either. But honestly, if anyone's going to get back together, it has to be Chris and Anna.
Yes, I agree.
That's what I want in my life. Please.
I would prefer them back together than Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, but you know, we do not control love.
We do not always get what we want. You know, I don't know, they're odd birds, but speaking of odd birds, Ian Smolder and Nikki Reed just had their baby today.
So they're going to have a month of silence, guys.
Are they Scientologists?
No.
Like, what is this about?
They're not going to be on social media for a month. They're not going to be out in the public for a month. I think they're just, they just want to absorb baby time. But telling you, I had a child. I wasn't a movie star, and I wasn't silent for a month. I still posted pictures of my newborn on the internet.
Which a lot of people do. Like,
yeah, I think they need to chill out. Your baby's not Jesus. Let's just calm down.
Well, and who even really cares, though? Like, honestly, what has Nikki Reed done since Twilight?
That's a good question. I don't know.
And Ian Smolder was on this Vampire Diaries or whatever the fuck this is.
But that's not on anymore, is it?
No, I think it just ended.
So, yeah, what the fuck, man?
Like, this is not Angelina and Brad.
Exactly.
No one cares.
And they friggin' put the pictures out and then donated money to charity. So, take notice, people.
Yeah, it's silly. I don't understand it.
It actually is kind of annoying. And I feel like they're almost acting superior. Like, we have to separate ourselves for a month so we don't get hounded and swamped with all these, you know, requests of seeing our baby.
Right. Or maybe, in their minds, they're jacking up the price of those first photos that go to people or us. Because
they need to make some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You never know.
Speaking of people who desperately need to make money, the Pratts. And I'm talking Stephanie and Spencer and Heidi a la The Hills.
They do need to make money, especially since Spencer knocked up Heidi.
I mean, it's really gross. Who's going to pay me out? I can't even. Like, they're the worst couple of all time.
Well, and you don't know what the child's going to look like, because Heidi's had so much plastic surgery. You don't know.
Well, not to mention, like, Spencer and his crystals. And, I mean, there's so much wrong there. And just them as human beings. Yeah. They cannot raise a child. I just don't know.
I forgot about the crystals. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So, Stephanie Pratt, though, has recently went on a titter tirade, guys. A titter tirade.
I like it.
Fucking stupid. Jesus, my mouth. Sorry. Twitter tirade. Where basically she called out Spencer for being a shitty human being, which we all know. We all watch The Hills, even though The Hills was scripted.
I feel like he went off script, and that was just him.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, too. Although I was watching, what was I watching the other day? Oh, I was watching the Southern Charm reunion of, like, season 3, because I'm trying to get caught up desperately on that, because it's amazing. But, like, one of the cast members on Southern Charm was almost a full-time cast member on The Hills.
Oh, really?
And Andy Cohen was like, yeah, but that was scripted. Like, he really wanted to make the distinction that that was not reality TV.
I mean, I think it's an important distinction to make, because for so long they're like, oh, The Hills was not scripted. It wasn't scripted. Oh.
And then that stupid finale.
Oh, my God, the finale, right? I remember being young watching this and being like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, you're on the back lot, and now that you're done filming, it's so obscene.
It was.
It was such a waste of my life.
It really was.
But on that note, like, on The Hills note, because actually, who really actually cares about Spencer Pratt and Stephanie Pratt and these fucking Pratts?
What? Exactly.
I saw a Throwback Thursday picture today on Dieter Schmidt's Instagram, and mm-hmm. Dieter was on Laguna Beach, like the original Laguna Beach.
I just don't even have a recollection of
that. Because he was like not one of the major guys, but he had this like picture collage, and it was very adorable, and it was him and Stephen Colletti and Trey.
Uh-huh.
And it was a picture of them like last month when one of them got married.
Okay.
A picture from the Laguna Beach days, and then a picture of them at like 6 years old at medieval times.
Aww.
I was like, I like that. They were really friends.
That's
that makes
cute.
Me happy.
Well, that does make me feel better.
So not all reality TV. Obviously, Housewives is above all, and Bravo is untouchable, but not all, like...
For sure.
Those MTV shows are fake. So, I guess we can...
They really are fake. It's so sad. I know. I feel like Bravo has set a standard.
Oh, God. Like, you need to watch Southern Charm. It's literally crack. It is a crack pipe in your hand, and...
I have so many shows that
are... to let it go. There's only 4 seasons.
I am still catching up on Atlanta.
I know. There's after so Atlanta, much. You have to watch Southern Charm.
Okay.
It's like, literally, I can't. I can't even.
I do love their accents, I will say. I'll see their previews, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I just love those Southern...
The whole thing, everything about them is fantastic.
Yeah.
They're detestable human beings, but I love every minute.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to watch them.
Another story that came out this week, which I guess was surprising, but kind of interesting and weird timing, is Aaron Carter is bisexual.
It is really weird timing. I feel like it's to deflect from his meth appearance and from his, little whatever.
Yeah, like the whole
incident.
Driving under the influence.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I just don't even know why it's important for him to come out at this point.
I agree.
Like,
who cares? Who cares who he's sleeping with? Who cares about Aaron Carter on this very base level?
No, absolutely.
But, like, even further, is anyone, like... Are there girls still fawning? Like, Aaron Carter.
Oh, God, I hope not. He's so weird, and I really think he's on meth.
I wouldn't disagree. I wouldn't disagree.
I mean, I have no proof, so we're doing air quotes again, guys.
Yes,
but
this is an allegedly situation.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's not well.
He doesn't look well.
He does not look well.
Someone who's not well for sure, though, USHERRAYMOND. Herpes.
Baby, tell me
that's
what
herpes is what I hear.
He's giving
this is a story that keeps going, guys. Like, I know we've talked
about it.
It's
like herpes
is
an outbreak.
It is. This is an outbreak of herpes in our podcast because now more of the details have come out.
Yeah.
The man that got herpes was someone who gave Usher oral sex.
Yes, which is Usher by?
Clearly. You don't get oral sex from a man unless you're, like, gay for the stay.
He's
like,
never
you're
been
not just like...
Oh, God. No, I love that he says that he did not have sex with this new woman who's come out.
Yeah, who's morbidly obese.
Right, she's morbidly obese because that's not his type. But he won't touch... He hasn't discounted the man.
Yeah, he absolutely had to, like, release a statement that said, I didn't sleep with that bitch.
Right.
She's not my type. But... Oral sex from a man,
totally his
thumbs
type.
Up, guys. Good to go.
Yeah. So I found that really interesting that overweight women are not his type, but men are.
Men are. He did not say shit about the man.
Yeah.
So.
And after a while, you wonder, his wife is still standing by him, but how much more has to come out?
Yeah. And then I like that, I think it was Snoop Dogg said, he didn't give her herpes, he gave her Hershey. It's like,
ow.
Oh, dear God. So...
I mean, herpes, again, disgusting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He has infected how many people now?
God only knows. The number is just counting up.
You know what else?
Oh, dear God.
Brandy used to date him, right?
Brandy Glanville?
No.
Oh, Brandy, like Brandy the artist?
Yes. Didn't she date him?
I don't know.
I feel like she did.
I don't know. He dated Chili from TLC.
He did. But I thought he dated...
Maybe he did.
I don't know, but I think he's given a lot of other people herpes.
I'm sure we have not heard the end of this.
Bring it
we
on.
We will keep you updated.
Every time
know.
We get an update, I get excited. I'm like, what's next?
I mean,
hear.
Literally, the oral sex from the man, not discounting that man's story at all.
Yeah. I had to read
like,
it
okay.
twice. I was like,
all right, boy.
Reading the headline, and I'm like, wait, what? Wait, what?
You do you, boo. You do you.
I'm just ripping my microphone off of the table, guys.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
So, there's also this trial going on for the DJ that groped Taylor Swift.
T-Swift's bare butt.
Yeah, he bare-handed her ass under her skirt, and they were trying to... She testified today. That's why this is important, because she said that he grabbed my ass long enough for me to know that it was intentional.
Well, I don't know anyone who's accidentally grabbed ass.
Well, right. Maybe if it was, like, a brush, but, like, I wouldn't think any up-the-skirt ass-touching was not intentional.
Yeah, anytime something's going up my skirt, it's intentional.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So, and she's only suing for a dollar because she wants to make this about a point and not money.
Yes, because she's a crusader for all things good in life. T-Swift, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, I do love me some T-Swift. I can't deny
T-Swift, it. T-Swift, the pop artist. T-Swift, the country artist, was annoying as fuck. And T-Swift, the human being, is annoying as fuck, actually.
Yes, okay, look, I agree with the country artist. I don't know, as a human being, how I feel about her, I guess.
She's just so annoying. She's always, like, the victim.
She's always
about her girl squad.
That changes,
because the players in the girl squad are ridiculous, like Kendall Jenner.
It is very strange. I mean, she did have, like, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds at her house for 4th of July, and you never see them together again. It's very strange. Like, I spend 4th of July with people I care about.
Yeah, like, it's so weird.
It is very strange. So I guess that is a good point. Oh, T-Swift, get it together.
Get it together. Also, who needs to get it together, though, is Hollywood, generally. Because, like, I haven't seen an original movie in, you know, 10 years.
Yeah, I agree.
And now all these TV shows are coming back, all these sitcoms from the 80s and 90s, ugh, one being Roseanne.
Yes.
Roseanne has opted now to go the Will and Grace route and forget the finale even happened, because if you remember, in the Roseanne finale, Dan died.
Yeah, and they showed a clip of it, and I used to watch Roseanne. I don't remember it being that dramatic.
Like, it was really depressing.
Yeah, like him like having the heart attack, and she's thinking he's joking, and then he's not. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, it was a new level for me, and I'm tired of comedies going off kilter and being crazy.
Well, don't worry about it, because that never happened.
I like it.
You don't remember that, because that never fucking happened.
I need a TV amnesia pill, is what I need.
That's what we all need, apparently, because, for Christ's sake, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's ridiculous.
And another thing about TV that I don't understand is the life of Kylie.
Yeah, I don't get that shit either.
I watched the trailer because I will not watch the show, and you will not watch the show.
I will not
because
watch
that
it.
Is a waste of brain cells.
Yeah, no,
but the trailer is literally just her saying how misunderstood she is. Poor little billionaire Kylie Jenner is so fucking misunderstood.
I just can't.
I'm crying.
I'm buckets crying. Of tears. I just can't with her. I can't with these Kardashians. Your life is not bad. Stop it. Hush it. Stop it.
Yeah, no, there's no, it's, I can't even touch this because it's so fucking bizarre.
It is, and it's exhausting. It's like, how long are you going to play this card that, oh, no one understands me,
and my life is so hard, but if I wasn't on this fucking TV show and my sister didn't make a fucking sex tape and my dad didn't become a fucking woman, I would not be a billionaire right now.
Exactly, you would have to get a real job like the rest of us.
She'd be working at the Gap. She'd be working at PacSun instead of selling clothes to PacSun.
Exactly, because she's still a child.
So, fuck you, Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
Fuck you in your face. That's the message here.
I couldn't agree more.
In Housewives news, Greg Leakes apparently suffered some kind of emergency situation while filming Atlanta. There was allegations that he had a stroke, he had a heart attack, he was on his deathbed, he was dead, he has died.
Very serious things, yeah.
Nene came out and she was like, you people are fucking morons, assholes, don't talk about my life like this. Greg did have a thing, he drove himself to the ER, I wasn't even there. I don't know why she said it like that, because it just made her seem like a shitty wife. But, like, Greg is fine, guys. Greg is fine.
He is fine. And I just saw that someone broke down in front of their house and he gave them a whole tank of gas.
See, he's giving people gas. He's not dead.
No, I don't know why she got so viscerally upset, though.
It's a weird reaction.
It's a very strange reaction. He's alive and well. He's in my bed. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very, like, strange. So bizarre. It's like the whole Shannon Bedore, Vicky caused my weight gain thing. It just seems like it's misplaced anger. You're unhappy about something else.
Oh, for sure.
So, speaking of Orange County, though, this week was a big week in Housewives news for Orange County, because Sydney Barney
blasted.
She decided to break her silence about Mama Judge and this whole situation.
She did not hold back.
Wide open.
She did. And some of the allegations she made, I will say I find shocking, like that Tamara would leave the kids in the house with no food and be gone for hours upon hours. Why is there no food in the house?
Yeah, I don't know. She would completely ignore them.
Yeah.
She would call them Mini Simon if she didn't like something that they were doing.
That is hateful.
Especially, they see how much you hate this person.
Yeah.
And you're calling them by that name. What kid's not going to get a complex and want to go move with their dad?
Well, exactly. And also the food thing really bothers me because there's always food in my house. Always. There's always something to eat. So I just don't understand that. And also the Mini Simon thing is it's emotionally abusive.
Well, yeah. Well, exactly. And so the whole thing is essentially that Tamara was abusive and chose fame over her family.
Right.
Sydney claims that she's repeatedly asked Tamara not to mention her on the show, not to put her on the show.
Right.
The graduation picture that we spoke about a few episodes ago that Tamara posted, apparently Sydney said, don't post any pictures of my graduation. Tamara couldn't even honor that.
Right, and she posted, so.
Like, I mean, it seems really volatile, and it's really, really sad for those kids.
It is sad for the kids, and it's just a fucked up situation. But just to make it a little bit.
Just a little.
A little spice
in it. Turn it up a little bit.
Gretchen has to go and reach out to Sydney and say, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and breaking your silence. Bitch, please. How do you have any connection to Sydney?
She literally was just basically like, you're revealing all your mom's lies.
Yeah.
You're doing the world a favor.
I mean,
it was like, how did this poor girl's anguish become about you?
Exactly. Gretchen is stupid. She's not relevant, so she's trying to make herself relevant. And the only way she can do that is to jump on this bandwagon and call out Tamara. But it's just so crazy. And then Tamara blasted her back. But it's a hot mess.
Yeah, it's an ongoing hot mess. And while doing that, Tamara and Eddie renewed their vows in Aruba. So
I know those pictures were
mazel.
They were stunning. Like, I want to go to Aruba.
I don't know. What is with these couples? Kim Zolciak and Croy Berman just did this too.
Yeah, and they haven't been married long enough to renew their vows.
It's just a little obscene to me.
My parents have been married for 40 years and never renewed their vows.
Yeah, because renewing your vows, fine. If you really want to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to begrudge you that. But renewing your vows after less than 10 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Obscene.
I agree. Like, if you were to be like, oh, George and I have been married for a year, we're going to renew. I'd be like, why? Did something happen I don't know about?
Like, we have to do a refresher course.
Jesus, can you
imagine?
It's like
these people who fucking retake their wedding pictures. It's
fucking
stupid, and I want to shoot them in their faces.
I could not agree more. I don't understand it. You had a wedding day. You looked like you looked. You were whatever weight you were. You had whatever hair you had. And that's what you looked like. You can't redo the wedding. That's the wedding you got. I'm sorry. If good, bad, or indifferent, that's what you had. And you can't retake your wedding pictures. It's stupid.
Nope. Don't waste your money. No one wants to look at them. You're a fucking moron.
Thank you. Preach it, sister.
Moving into the episode, moving in, moving on, moving fast. That's the theme of Orange County this week. And the episode started off with Megan, Tamara, and Bridget, who is the cousin, but also still has no qualification.
I know. When I saw the episode, I was like, that is her cousin. But she's going to law school. Wait, what? I was so confused.
Yeah, it made no sense. So Megan and Tamara and Bridget and Shannon and Aspen are all meeting at this restaurant. Then Bridget takes
Aspen
away. So it's just Megan and Tamara and Shannon having lunch. I enjoyed Tamara walking into the restaurant thinking the parrot was calling her old.
I know. I was like, you are paranoid.
It made me giggle.
Yeah, I'm like, calm down, lady. Walk in the restaurant.
Promptly after sitting down, Shannon proceeds to order alcohol.
Yeah, because, alcohol has no calories.
Yeah, like
zero. It's just like a magical
juice.
That's
why Tamara's like, what are you talking about? Like,
especially when you drink so much. It's not like you're having a vodka soda once a week.
Right.
You're drinking throughout the day.
Every day.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of useless calories.
Well, right. And then Tamara was like, alcohol's your friend or alcohol's your enemy when you're losing weight. But honestly, in my head, I was like, but it's your friend if you're overweight.
For
like, you need to
sure.
drown out that depression.
Yeah.
So, like, they sit down, and then fucking Megan
says,
how do working moms do it all?
I know.
Like, she has a nanny, she has a support staff, she has a husband.
Yeah, she's not doing it. She's not like she's doing laundry. And it's not like she has to go out and make money.
Yeah.
She can just sit there and take care of her child.
Even if she's running this candle workshop or candle
What the hell is a candle workshop?
I don't know. I don't fucking know. And I don't know why Jim Edmonds is so into it, but...
Yeah, when she was like, it's a workshop, I was like, what in the fuck is she talking
it's
about?
It's like so crazy. But whatever it is, she's not like a typical working mother. No. Like Tamara pointed out, you're not... You no. have a staff.
Yeah. No, I... Guess what, guys? I do my daughter's laundry. No one else does that for me. I go to work.
It's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. The way that Megan acts is mind-boggling.
She's very... I feel like in years past, she's definitely been odd, but I do feel like this season she's
amped it up.
Yeah, it's a new level.
Yes, yes. So they start talking about, all things considered, Shannon's weight, because that's all mm-hmm. we ever talk about. It's like the fucking Luann and Tom of yeah. Orange County. So Megan, they cut to Megan's interview, and she's like, this is clearly not all Vicky weight. Like, right. you didn't get this from Vicky, which I totally 100% agree with her.
She's clearly
got other issues.
For sure she does, and I think she's got to acknowledge it. I know she's lost weight now.
Yes.
But it's going to be an awful yo-yo. You got to address the mental issues.
Right, right, right. You're absolutely right. And I don't know, maybe at the reunion we'll see that she has lost weight because her marriage is back on track or whatever, but
hopefully.
There's bigger issues here, and for it's not sure. Vicky, and if she, like, I just can't. And, you know, the preview for next week's episode showed, like, Vicky finding out that Shannon is blaming her for this weight gain, and it's just insanity. Insanity.
It's the
one
funny.
Time in my whole life you'll ever hear me agree with Vicky Gunvalson.
That's true.
Like,
I'm really tired of talking about her weight gain, too, because, like, she's always like, I've gained 40 pounds, I've gained
like, 40
pounds.
Like, it's the first thing she says to people. It's the whole thing. When you're insecure about something, you put it up front first.
Oh, for sure.
So if you make it an issue, no one else can make it an issue.
How many times have I told you, look at this big zit on my face?
Yeah. It's like the first thing you do when you walk in the door. Like, mm-hmm. you just came here to my house to do this podcast. And I was like, sorry, my house is disgusting.
Yeah. And
because
I was like,
I was insecure about my house being disgusting.
It's
even
not,
though,
guys. It's not. I promise.
Maybe it is, guys. Maybe I'll be on an episode of Hoarders. You don't know. You don't fucking know me.
I know you. And there's no hoard here. There's no hoard.
Yes. Well, you're right. There's no hoarding that you know of. Wink, wink.
I mean, you could have something hidden. I don't know. I don't go looking through your closets.
You don't know. You don't know what I have.
I have,
R. Kelly in my closet.
Not in the towel closet. I've been in there. I've been in that closet, guys.
Okay. So at this lunch, Megan invites Shannon and Tamara to her sip and see.
Right.
To meet Aspen.
Even though they just met.
Yeah. They sipped and they saw, but I didn't even know sip and sees were a thing. Like, I saw it on Atlanta when Phaedra did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Southern Charm, too, so then I just assumed it was a Southern thing.
Right.
And then Megan came out with it, and I was like, I don't know, maybe this is just, I missed the boat on this thing.
It's a total thing. I watched Little Women LA, and all of them have just had babies, and they all had sip and sees. One had an alcoholic sip and see, one had a tea room sip and see. It's a very big thing now.
I just don't understand why everything has to be a production. I'm all for parties.
Oh, for sure.
And I'll party whenever. Mm-hmm. But, like, everything doesn't need to be a production. Like, if I have a child, I don't need a baby shower, a gender reveal party, a sip and see.
I could not agree more.
Are you kidding me? I just want to fucking make sure this kid has clothes on and doesn't have snot coming out of its nose.
No, it's true. I mean, if someone wanted to see my daughter when she was born, she came over to the house.
Right, right.
Like, that's just how I did it. There was no sip and see.
So, Shannon and Tamara are a little surprised that Vicky's going to be invited to the sip and see, and Megan says, well, she's not going to hurt my kid, and they just stare at her like she is a fucking moron.
I mean, you never know. I could see Vicky picking up a baby and throwing a baby across the room. I just have this visual in my head where she's like, no, grabs the baby and throws.
I can see her throwing a glass and it shattering above a baby's head.
No, the baby.
I can see her yelling. She yells a lot and she freaks out.
Yeah.
I can see her walking into the party going, woohoo, and blowing out the kids' eardrums.
No, for like, sure. I mean, Vicky's so
obnoxious. Vicky
doesn't
need to be around my baby, is all I'm saying.
No, absolutely.
Then the episode cuts to the most boring scenes of the episode, Lydia and Doug in Hawaii.
Oh my God, was that not the waste of the episode? Like, why? Why did we need to see this?
I don't know. And their son is saying, sexy lady, and they have to have this sex talk.
Their sex talk was, first of all, it's completely inappropriate because he was not asking what sex was. So you don't.
He wasn't even saying sex.
Yeah. So stop it. You're giving more information than the child
Not
needs.
Not to mention, they decided to delay the talk until they were in Hawaii. Which is weird. Yet they still didn't prepare for it.
Yeah.
And you're having this sex talk while your mom's in a bikini with her cleavage hanging out.
Yeah, it's super awkward. He's only 8.
It was so bizarre. So
And Doug bizarre. Was, he was super unprepared. Like, get it together.
Yeah. No, definitely. So then the episode cuts away, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
To Peggy's house where ball is once again being played in the house. I don't know why they haven't resolved this situation yet.
And she doesn't play with that either. She's not like that.
She's cooking. She talks about how in Armenian culture, food is love and wives cook for their food. And then she goes, but I want a chef. She's like, girl, you just said that this is love and now you want someone else to love on your family.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm sure this is an unpopular opinion, but I don't care because that's what we do here. I'm not a fan of Peggy, and this episode solidified it for me.
This episode did take me a little out of the Peggy camp because I was firmly in the Peggy
camp. Oh, I know you were. And first of all, I don't like how everything is Armenian. Oh, I'm such a good cook because I'm Armenian. We have such a good family because we're Armenian. We're so this because...
It's like the Kardashians. They do the exact same thing.
Right, and I don't like that. You're a good person because you're a good person. You have a good family because you work for it. Your husband worked his ass off for you guys. You work your ass off. You put love into your cooking because you're a good mom, and that's what you... That's a love language for you.
Right.
Not because you're fucking Armenian. Stop saying Armenian.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. The whole chef thing really threw me off. I was like, oh, Peggy, come on, dial it back. Dial it back.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They have a conversation with their daughter. Their daughter says she got into the Laboratory Institute of Merchandising in New York. That's going to be going away to school. That seemed impressive.
It did, but then they're like, we have to celebrate. We can't. We have this Lamborghini
party.
Yeah,
they literally, like, just skip over it. Like, it's a big milestone, and she's, like, telling them about it, and that they just skip over because they're like, oh, we're the first people ever to get an Aventador S Lamborghini, and they're having a whole party for us, so we can only do those things.
That also annoyed me. Like,
that was pretentious, 100%.
And also, my daughter's getting into a school that she's really worked hard to get into. I'm going to throw a shit ton of hoopla for her, and I could care less about a Lamborghini.
Well, right, right.
Like, I'm sorry, where are your priorities?
Well, and then, for whatever reason that it's edited to show us, I'm sure Peggy called all the ladies, but it's edited to show us her calling Shannon.
Right.
And Shannon says, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. Vicky's going to be there. I can't do it because I'm 5 years old and I cannot be in the same room as her.
I know. I mean, we've obviously been in rooms with people we hate.
God,
but,
yes. More than once.
Yeah, but we suck it up. I mean, we're not buddy-buddy with them. We'll be cordial, but I'm not going to be like, suck a dick.
Yeah, or I'm not going to go to this event for another friend or event.
Right,
I'm
not
going
to not go to something because some bitch is there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to go because the bitch is there and look amazing.
Amen, sister. And you already know my feelings about showing my boobs to a certain so-and-so.
Yes, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. We'll create it. We're creating the event. We're catty just like the housewives. That's why we get them.
It's true. It's so true.
So Kelly takes her mom to the senior center, and I found this to be a really awful and offensive scene.
Yes, I could not agree more with you. I watched this show with my mom, and I was like, Mom, I promise to never do this to you.
She was acting like her mom's 1 foot in the grave. Yeah. They're showing the senior center. It's like really like older men playing ping pong.
I know. I was like, this looks terrible.
It looks like youthful and like she's got her life in her.
Yeah. And just because she doesn't live it to what you want her to live it as doesn't mean she's not living.
Well, right. And
like she doesn't have to have a husband or a significant other for her to have a fulfilled life.
Right. And that, and some people just, the older they get, the more reclusive they get. Yes. It's just a choice. Like, my mom did that before she passed. Uh-huh. She was becoming, like, she used to be, like, a social butterfly. Uh-huh. And as time went on, she just began to hate people and didn't want to do things.
Right.
Like, people, it happens to people as they age. So to drag your mom out, drag her to the senior center, speak about her so offensively. Like,
in
she's
front
a
of
child,
this woman, yes.
Even saying as much.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was very offensive to me, and I do not enjoy Kelly Dodd. I fucking hate Kelly Dodd, in fact.
I agree with you, and I think the way she treats her mom is disgusting. I just think her whole behavior is disgusting. It was really upsetting. And the senior center just had this vibe to it of, like, we're playing.
Death.
Yeah.
Like death.
Get it together. Your mom lives across the street from the beach. She's fine.
Yeah.
Kelly Dodd's fucking nuts.
100%. So then we hop over to Vicky and Michael, who are at the new Kodo Insurance.
Oh, God.
it's going to be a franchise. So they're setting it up so that other franchises across the country can emulate that one.
Right.
But is the Kodo Insurance that's going to be in Bismarck, North Dakota, I think is where sure. Bismarck is. It might be in South. I don't know. One of the Dakotas.
You let
Bismarck,
us know.
Bismarck, Dakota. going to be able to have this furniture and the office space that Kodo, you know, no. Laguna Beach is going to have.
No. And no. I just don't see a potential for the franchise, but I could be completely wrong.
It's a little insane to me, but she talks about how she wants to give Michael the baton, which she'll never do.
No, she's going to work until the day she dies.
Absolutely. But then she wants to make sure Michael is protected. So Michael has this girlfriend, and Vicky starts talking about sex, condoms, babies, sperm and egg, about how he needs a prenup. Like, this is not even where he's at in his life. It was so awkward.
Yeah, it's just really weird, and I don't understand these weird, awkward conversations between parents and their children. Like, luckily, I had parents where sex talks were not awkward and not offensive to me. They were very mature.
It's just like Michael is like my age, so he's like 30, 31.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little late.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand why that talk was happening in the middle of the office space.
And if he gets a girl pregnant, like you said, he's 30, 31. He's a man.
And he's like the vice president of the company, so I'm sure he's making shit tons of money.
He can handle it.
100%.
That's on him. Like, he's not a 17-year-old boy that you need to be worrying about. She's crazy.
And then at this point in the episode, Kelly wants to make amends with Shannon, and they've decided that in order for her to do that, she has to make up with the puppet master. Again, this puppet master that I don't understand because Tamara has not... I mean, obviously, I didn't think Tamara was a super shitty mom either, so maybe I'm just totally off base with Tamara.
I know, but I don't see it either. I'm with you.
I don't see her pulling the strings, so...
And I don't think that Shannon would fall in line behind... Like she said, like Kelly's like, she'll fall in line after.
Yeah, because they... Tamara's this great leader. You have to just follow her.
Like, what are you talking about?
It's, like, insane. So, Kelly calls Tamara and sets up a coffee date so that she can, you know, make these inroads to start making up with Shannon.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, we pop back to Hawaii.
Ugh, it was too much.
Where Lydia asks Doug for a vasectomy. Actually, she asks him to cut his balls off.
Yeah, she asked him in the most awkward, ridiculous, really just stupid way. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was...
I can't stand Lydia, really. She annoys the fuck out of me. Her husband creeps me out.
I just don't understand why she is on the show. I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and then she proceeded to tell us that her and her husband were both virgins when they got married, so
yeah,
they have sex
like,
all the time.
It was the whole thing.
Ew, like, go walk away from me right now.
It was like a whole thing that I didn't need. I mean, the only thing about the only positive I could take away from all of the Lydia in the episode is that she was like, fine, go freeze your sperm if that's what you want to do, but you're getting these cut off, so I don't have to take birth control for the rest of my life. That was a logical statement. I will give her credit where credit is due.
Yeah, that's fine.
But
I mean,
all the rest of it is chaos and insanity, and I just can't.
I don't want her on the show anymore.
I don't want her on the show anymore, and I could honestly do without Megan, although Megan's, like, slowly starting to creep up on me.
Yeah, no, the end of this episode is... where I like.
Well, right. But. That's where the main drama is. But at this point in the episode, they hop back to Megan, who's doing soaps.
It's
and
so
I want to start with her outfit because she's wearing this like off the shoulder, like men's work shirt.
Yes. And
then
a sweater
vest over it.
Yeah, that was like what? And the shoulders were cut off.
Yes. The men's business shirt part was completely, it was a off the shoulder shirt. So it was completely just around, you know, the top of her breasts, around her back, and then a sweater vest over it. It was hideous. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
She dresses really, really terrible.
Terrible.
She's like with
Tim's. Oh, yeah,
like,
because I will also want to talk about her outfit later in the episode, because that outfit is terrible as well.
Yeah, we got a lot of bad outfits to discuss.
Basically, the whole point of the scene is to show you that Jim comes home and doesn't really even, I don't even think he greets Megan. He just goes straight to Aspen.
For the baby.
But I do feel like Megan is dramatic in saying Aspen's not even going to know who Jimmy is.
I know. When she said that, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, he's not going to disappear for 10 years at a time.
No, it was so absurd. I was like, okay.
And you know who you married. You knew who you were having a baby with.
She literally said all those things before. She's like, I knew he had the job. I knew this. I knew that. So, but I want to change it.
Like, I don't understand. You knew who you were getting in a relationship with, but you want to change it now? What?
Yeah, I don't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension. We shoot over then to Kelly and Tamara having coffee.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, Kelly's talking about, oh, I need to out-puppet the new puppet master. And my thought process on this is, like, I think this is just, again, I think this is a level of manipulation mm-hmm. that I just don't think Tamara has on the opposite end. Like, she's not thinking, Kelly's coming here to manipulate me, so how must I out-manipulate her? And yeah.
I do not think that at all. I just don't see Tamara doing that.
I feel like Kelly just acts like a bored housewife, like, where she's creating these conspiracy theories.
Because she is a bored housewife, absolutely.
100%. So, like, they kind of apologize, they move on, they talk about how they bond over their vagina,
yeah.
their bladder leakage. Tamara says she peed her pants a little bit when she yelled at Kelly in Ireland.
I love when she said she has a 4-car garage in her vagina
because
she gave birth to 4 kids. I've never heard anything like that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. I was like, my God, that makes it sound terrible.
Yeah, it didn't sound good. But no. They bond over vaginas.
They did.
I mean, that's a common thing. I mean,
yeah.
For the men out there, women just meet up and they're like, let's talk about our vaginas.
I mean, yeah.
Doesn't happen. I mean, if there's an issue, we'll bring it up.
Yeah, I've never just been one to ask you, hey, how's your vagina?
Yeah, let's talk about our vaginas, guys. No.
No, my vagina's good and we don't need to discuss.
So the rest of the episode takes place at Peggy's Lamborghini party.
Right.
They kind of start out at Peggy's house and Peggy's planning Deco's outfits.
Yeah, and it was an odd interaction, I felt like, because he was like, do I need to wear a tie? Okay, I'm going to wear a tie.
Yeah, he seemed very insecure mm-hmm. about what he was going to do. And then their two oldest daughters come down, and they're a very beautiful family. They all look really great.
Uh-huh.
They're all dressed impeccably, and they go out to this party. And some of the first people we see arrive at the party are Megan and Jimmy, and Megan is wearing a hideous fucking dress that looks like, I don't know, she belongs in a nunnery.
It does. It looks like a bad habit. Like, she just needs the habit. The hat.
Yes. And habit as in Catholic habit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sorry, it kind of sounded like that was street lingo. Like, it looks like a bad habit.
Oh, no, guys. Sorry. For my non-Catholic friends.
So, no, it really did, though. It was, like, all white
mm-hmm.
with a scoop neck. But then above the scoop neck right. was a black turtleneck.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird. She wears the ugliest shit. Her and Tinsley, man.
Oh, God. And then we'll get there. Because that is... Yes, Tinsley's outfits are horrendous. Even in the preview for the reunion.
Yes.
She's the worst dress, hands down, already.
She
done.
Looks... Yes, the blue freaking...
Short dress. Oh, God.
Freaking from Little House on the Prairie.
Little House on the Prairie, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but we'll talk about that later.
So, Lydia, so we just talked about Megan's outfit. So Lydia comes to the party and it's, for whatever reason, feels the need to tell Peggy that she asked her husband to get his balls cut off.
She's awkward with Peggy. She's so awkward.
She just says these things uh-huh. and Peggy says these things. And it's very an awkward friendship. It's very forced.
Uh-huh.
But Peggy, like, doesn't understand. Like, Peggy isn't English as a second language person.
Right.
So you kind of have to be clear when you're saying things to Peggy.
Right. And you can't just go around saying, I'm going to cut off my husband's balls.
Yeah.
Say it back
like,
to me.
She was like, he needs his balls. I don't know.
I know.
She was confused. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Vicky comes in, greets Megan. Megan feels really good about super sweet Vicky, and I'm like,
No, she's not super sweet. You're crazy.
Yeah. But then, you know, Megan about Peggy is like, this party is just ridiculous. Like, I'm so rich. Screw you. Like,
that was so hysterical to me. And it really was over the top. The yellow Lamborghini. I did not like the yellow.
No, the yellow was awful. And I think that's why all the women were like, oh.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, if you're going to see a Lamborghini, you want to see like a red or black or something.
Yeah.
Sleek.
I mean, some people like yellow. I get it. It's not for me.
No.
I don't think it's for Peggy either, to be honest. Like, I just don't see it. It's a masculine color to me.
It is a masculine color to me, for sure. I don't know. I'm over Peggy, and I'm especially over her after this party.
Well, yeah. So the girls all go stand around a table, and it's Vicky, Peggy, Lydia, and Megan. And they're kind of just chit-chatting, and they're saying, like, oh, you know, they were talking about the sip and see and whether Vicky would make a scene or not. And she's like, oh, no, I wouldn't. But she absolutely would. Let's get that straight.
Admit, when Megan was like, yes, you would, I was like, yeah, yes, you fucking would. What are you talking about?
Yes, yes. So, they started talking about the past, of course, because, you know, it's all they got. So, they start talking about the past, and Megan is telling Vicky that she should be the bigger person, and she should just fall on her sword, and and Vicky doesn't understand it. She's no. like, they show clips of her apologizing time after time, and I get that she has apologized a lot, but what Megan is saying, it doesn't matter how many times you've apologized.
Yeah.
Let's move on. In order to do that, you need to apologize once again.
Right, and also, you have to mean the apology, and you have to, in that apology, acknowledge your wrongdoing.
And that's exactly the point. Sorry doesn't work if you don't know that you did something wrong.
Right. You can't just go around saying sorry, sorry. Especially if you don't even believe you're sorry. Because I don't believe Vicky believes that she's sorry.
Right, right. And at this point, Megan goes to say something and Peggy clips the lips. Not Dorinda's hand clip.
No, she
but
literally...
But she literally takes her fingers and clips Megan's mouth closed.
While it was funny, this is what sealed the deal for me for Peggy. And I completely wrote her off. Because for me, you don't ever fucking touch me like that.
Megan was, like, shocked and confused.
Yes.
I immediately would have punched her.
That's what I'm saying. You don't touch me. No, you do not touch me. I find that highly disrespectful. It's offensive. It blew my mind. While I laughed at it, and then I stepped back and was like, holy shit, that was so unacceptable. Like, yeah. No, fuck you.
Yeah, no, 100%. I completely agree. It's, so like, your personal space. Even more than your personal space, it's literally your body.
Yeah, you're touching my lips? No. So, absolutely, that's what did it for me. I'm over Peggy. Don't like it. Mm-mm. I don't care who she did that to. She could have done it to Kelly Dodd, and I would have been like, that's not okay.
Yeah, no, I agree. I literally would have punched her. So, we'll see the aftermath of that play out.
I hope Megan calls her out on it.
I'm sure she will. But so, the very last part of the episode is just Eddie and Tamara at Shannon and David's house, and Shannon and Tamara are telling Eddie and David how much they suck because they didn't buy them Lamborghinis.
Yes, those terrible husbands.
And they're rehashing Shannon and Kelly's relationship and Tamara's coffee with Kelly and whatever. And
it wasn't needed.
Yeah, it was just kind of like an excess scene, I think, to just set up the fact that Shannon's kind of open to that to meeting reconciling with Kelly.
As long as Tamara goes with her, which I think is good.
Yeah, I agree. So the preview, you know, showed Lydia can't invite the ladies to a party because she's afraid that they're going to cause a scene. And it showed the interaction between Shannon and Kelly. And it showed Vicky being told that she's being blamed for Shannon's weight gain. And she's, you know, understandably shocked because it makes no sense. And that's Orange County this week.
Yeah, it was a little,
it's setting up bigger things.
It is setting up bigger things.
So, occasionally we have these episodes in Housewives history that just set up a bigger thing.
Right, and I'm excited for the bigger things to come.
New York played like one of those episodes, but yes. The season finale.
Yes, there were some times where I was just like, okay, this is not needed. Let's move it along, but we'll get into all that, so let's dive in.
So, Thank You and Goodnight is the name of this episode. And it's fitting. Mm-hmm. I want to say before we get into the episode that since the Luann and Tom divorce discussion that we had last week, merchandise has come out.
I know, the t-shirt.
It's obscene.
I know, it's
like, Shayla, you got your life back. Like, Tom stole her life? What are we talking about here?
I know. And then what did I saw one, it was like, from Countess to
wife back to life.
Back to life. I'm like, what are you? She chose this.
Yeah. He didn't imprison her. He kidnapped her.
Yeah, I'm like, he didn't imprison her,
like,
guys.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? She was the biggest, like, I love Tom robot.
Yeah. He's the rose at, you know, Mexico. Come on.
Like, obscene.
Yeah, and now she's like, oh, thank you guys for your support. What are you talking about? You wanted this.
You wanted this. You, not only did you want this, you dove in head first, knowing exactly that the pool was 3 feet deep.
Yes, and you had... I know, it's like, come on, lady. No, I have no sympathy. Stupid. No sympathy for her at all.
So fucking stupid. So, the episode starts with Bethany coming over to Carol's house. She refers to it as a cat sauna or a pussy sauna.
I mean, if it's hot and there's a bunch of cats running around, a pussy sauna sounds appropriate.
Yeah, and Bethany's complaining about the renovations at her new apartment, and Carol kind of says, champagne's problems cause stress just like regular people problems.
I suppose it's true, but it's hard to feel sympathetic for the champagne problems.
Yeah, I don't have any sympathy for the champagne problems.
No, you're good. You still have a gorgeous apartment in Manhattan.
Yeah, you're not homeless.
Yeah, you've got a house in the Hamptons. You're good, girl. You're good.
Yeah, so they kind of rehash Mexico. They rehash Tinsley and Scott.
Yeah.
And then they decide that Sonia's townhouse is now the townhouse of love.
Yes,
Luann went in, came out with a significant other. Tinsley went in, came out with a significant other.
I mean, it's like that movie, what was it called, with Dane Cook, Good Luck Chuck, where if you had sex with him, the girl would get engaged.
Oh, right, yeah, after. I remember. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe that's what that room is. But what's a little odd about it, isn't it, is her daughter's room.
It is her daughter's room. Luann didn't sleep in her daughter's room, though. Okay. Luann had, like, the separate kind of apartment floor of the house. Ramona wants to move in now.
Do it. Let's see if it works for her.
She's ready for a partner. So, you know, speaking of golden couple number one, Luann and Tom play tennis in this episode.
Oh, God, it was so boring. And
they're just
gross.
Like, she's talking, he makes me complete, the honeymoon vomit stage is forever.
Vomit everywhere.
Like, are you, what?
No, and that's so stupid, and I literally have no words right now, guys.
She literally says, Tom's still here, and that says everything. No, it says that literally the second that aired,
he was gone.
You kicked him, or you moved on.
Yeah, you separated. It's just ridiculous. It's so disingenuous, the way they're kissing and touching. It's really obnoxious. I don't like it. I'm over it. I'm glad they got
a divorce.
Did you
see the way, when they kissed, Tom grabbed her neck again?
Because it's weird. I don't understand that.
He's very aggressive with her neck, but
it's very strange. Like, come here.
And then we visit Sonia at Grey Gardens. Ramona comes. She talks about how Frenchie's redecorating her house.
Yeah, but it doesn't look better.
No, it doesn't.
So I don't understand. She's still got birds on her walls.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Like, they show like her have like a clip back, like a flashback where she's having like dinner with Frenchie. She's drinking, by the way. I'm just gonna point out every time Sonia's drinking because she drank the whole episode.
No, she does.
Tinsley's moved out at this point. So, hooray!
And Scott helped her move out.
Yes.
It's like a big boyfriend job.
Yes, yes. So, Ramona and Sonia, much like all of the housewives when they get together, they rehash the past.
Mm-hmm.
They talk also, though, about the thank you party that Tinsley's throwing in. And Sonia has the opinion that this is a publicity stunt. This is
right.
Just so Tinsley can get public opinion on her side. And she brings up the fact that, or Ramona does, that she sleeps with eyelashes and makeup and hair. Maybe she has a point? Does she have a point?
I think she has a point. I think that while it seems on paper, oh, you let me stay in your house for 5 months, I'm going to throw you a very nice party. I think Tinsley's very concerned with her public persona. Obviously, because she kept talking about the goddamn mugshot.
Oh, and the page six.
And the page six nonstop. So she wants to come off a certain way in the public eye, which is so stupid. But she does. So I agree. I think it's disingenuous.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
I at first wanted to believe it, but then when they like point out the eyelashes and everything, and I just kept, you know, 2 + 2 + 2 + 2, and then eventually got, you know.
Yeah, and even at the party, too, she did her favorite colors of
pink.
Oh,
yeah, no, that was obscene, and, like, everything about that party was for her. Sonia was absolutely right.
Right, and the drinks that she made were not for her, so it's like.
No, she's very.
And the picture, oh, we gotta talk about that when it goes.
Oh, my gosh. No, we can talk about it now. We can, because it's not, like, a big part of the party, so it kind of fits into what we're talking about now.
Tinsley got Sonia a picture of the two of them to say thank you, and the picture is horrid.
It's literally the picture that, like, if Tinsley had a Facebook, she would post as her profile picture.
Yeah,
because she looks amazed and the other person in the picture doesn't matter.
Right,
but this is what she's giving to Sonia as a gift, and Sonia's that other person, her head's cut off.
Yeah, and she's
at what's a weird angle.
She's
she
like
looks
in the
fat.
Yeah, she's in the background and Tinsley's in the front looking glamorous.
Yeah, it was obscene. And then also Tinsley gives Sonia this $5,000 Bergdorf's gift card.
She keeps rubbing on her vagina, which I didn't get.
So, Sonia.
That's true. But I was like, that's not sanitary. Get it
but
out.
But, like, that's all for show. That's to make her look good.
No, for sure. I mean, I want a $5,000
gift card. Yeah, I'll take a $5,000 Bergdorf's gift card any day of the week.
Hell, like, yes. Tinsley, send them my way.
Turn it over.
But
you'll look very good to me, Tinsley.
She needs to go and use that $5,000 for herself. Yeah, she actually
should have just cashed that in. So, next we get to see Bethany's new apartment, which is huge.
It is huge.
It's not huge just by New York standards. It's just a big-ass fucking apartment.
Yeah, it's huge for California people who...
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like for us.
She's making a room into a closet.
Yes.
Her, like Dorinda says, when Dorinda comes over and visits her, the master bath is like a spa.
It did look like huge. It was huge. I was like, holy shit, this bathroom is ginormous.
Yeah.
And can we talk about her date, the hockey player with the tooth?
Yeah.
That was really weird. I don't want you to take out your tooth when we're on a date.
No, it wasn't attractive.
Like, even if we're on a casual date like they were, I don't want you to take out your tooth.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see them. It didn't make sense to me.
He was cute. He was good looking.
Yeah, but I feel like he was young for her. Not that, like...
No, he was young for her, and I think he's... I don't know. I didn't see it either. Like, what was that?
I didn't feel it. Like, when she was with Jason, I was like, they make a good-looking couple. They make sense to me.
Right.
And I don't see that here. And obviously, Dorinda comes over, like I said. And the thing I want to discuss about this scene... is they're grabbing this hockey player's ass, and they're talking about his ass. Is there a double standard?
Of course there's a double standard.
I just don't like... I don't like hypocrisy. Like, it really bothers me.
There's an absolute double standard where women can grab ass, slap ass, say sexually provocative things to a man, and we think it's funny, and it's cheeky, and it's so cute, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, I have a great ass. But if it was reverse and it was two guys and one girl in an apartment and the two guys were slapping the girl's ass and saying something like that, it would absolutely be a shitstorm for those two guys.
Would get involved. So yeah. Like, it's just crazy.
So there is a double standard. I feel like it's always been that way. And it is.
It has. But I'm just like, when I was watching that scene, I was like, I just don't like it because I just don't like hypocrisy.
Right. And I mean, if you want to grab ass, then you have to be willing to be grabbed. Yeah. So I don't know. I do think it's hypocrisy. So yes, I agree.
Yeah. So Tinsley moved. We see where Tinsley moved. She moved to a $7,000 a month hotel room.
She should just pay $2,000 more and get an actual apartment that's hers.
100%. Carol comes to see her, brings a housewarming gift. It's a re-gift. It's unwrapped because it's for hotel living. So it doesn't merit an actual gift that she purchased. Dorinda. And it is from Dorinda.
I would be annoyed if I gave you a gift and then you gave it to, say, Nicole, our other best friend. I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's not nice.
No.
If it's a candle, you can keep it in your house. It's not a big deal.
Light it in the bathroom, for God's sakes. But I know. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, poor Dorinda. And speaking of Dorinda, Dorinda and John are able to have dinner at Dorinda's apartment because Hannah has moved out. John has a Beyonce gown recreated for Dorinda.
Which is so weird, and I didn't even think it was pretty.
It's not pretty, and it's absolutely not Dorinda.
No, that's why I was like, what is this bohemian, lacy, frolic thing, shit? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. That was the takeaway from that, just the Beyonce recreation gown. Yeah. Like, there was nothing there.
Uh-huh.
Adam and Carol walk the dog. Carol just talks about how she wants to be free. I also think that's very strange, like, to be talking about that while we're watching a scene with you with your boyfriend.
Yeah, it is very strange in how she's like, aren't you glad that you moved out? And
he's like, oh, I never moved in, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, shut up.
Where does this go? I don't know. I mean, he wants kids, she doesn't. Where does this go?
It doesn't. It doesn't. That's the answer. I kind of feel sad.
It makes me sad.
It makes me sad because I like them as a couple.
And they've been together, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah. But it makes me really sad for Adam because, like, what is he doing?
What is he doing?
I don't know. Like, if he wants kids and he knows Carol's not going to have kids, they can't even live together. What is he doing?
Yeah. He stays with her because he loves her, but, like, I don't get it either.
Yeah,
it's confusing. I kind of want to have a sit down with the two of them and hear their sides.
Yes. So then we do one of these split scene things with Tinsley is getting party prep done. She needs an entire team to come over to do her hair, makeup, nails. She's got a fucking team.
She was getting a hand massage at one point. I'm like, you need
to... While she's talking to Scott on the phone.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they say, I love you. They've been dating like 2 weeks at this time.
That's pretty quick. That's really quick.
Like, and they're like, okay, love you, bye. And I was like, whoa.
When she said that, I was like, oh, what the hell? You need to calm that shit down.
Oh, God, yes. And then Sonia's packing again, because Sonia's always packing.
She is, and then she's talking about...
This time she's saying she's going to France. She's always going somewhere, but she's always packing.
She is, and she's talking about dirty underwear, dogs-looking underwear, yeah, her nasty underwear. It's too much for me.
Well, and then she's talking about how she's going to go to France with Frenchie.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't want to get rid of Rocco. Rocco's her backup plan.
Well, yeah, you got to have a good plan. My God, you can't be left out.
You can't just, like, I should go get a backup plan. Like, I have a husband, yeah, but I really need a backup plan.
You never know.
So I should get on J-Date and figure that shit out.
J-Date.
I need a fucking someone on deck, guys. Like, it's clearly I'm doing it wrong.
You are doing it wrong.
Then the party starts. So number one takeaway from the beginning of the party, Tinsley looks like shit. That his team did nothing for her.
Her hair looked extra curly, and it was weird. I didn't like it. It looked like there was like a dent line right here.
No, it's because it's like when you go to dry bar, mm-hmm, and they make you look like fucking Susie Q, and then 5 minutes later it all falls out.
That is exactly what happened to us. It was a very awful experience. We paid for that. Our hair, I had like Farrah Fawcett hair too, a little bit in the front.
Yeah, well, and we explained to the people that we... we're going on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
We were going on a yacht for a wedding, and it was going to be in the harbor. And so we needed, like, a lot of hairspray, a lot of product,
uh-huh,
to keep it together. And just fucking did not.
No, it did not. My hair looked like shit by the end of the night.
Yeah, it was not. We were drunk, but we looked more drunk than we were because our hair was a hot mess.
We got to find those pictures and post them because they're pretty hysterical. Yeah. Like, we're at the Mexican restaurant, yeah, and my hair is all...
And you're just munching on the tostadas. Yeah. Good time.
That was so fun.
It was really fun, though.
Memories.
I really like the cake with the New York
so cute. Yeah, so it pretty. Was very cute. It's very Sex and the City. It looked like Sex and the City.
It very was. It very much was. And I'm all for pushing fashion boundaries, but Carol's gold harem pants.
Oh, my God.
I could not.
They were hideous. They didn't even look like properly fitting harem pants. They were, like, tight in the back. Then they had these, like, loose pockets up in the front.
Yeah. No, it was hideous. I was like, Carol, you're failing. Like, yeah. Carol usually looks pretty cute and put I think together.
So. Uh-huh. And that was not okay.
No.
And I did not. And Tinsley's dress was hideous.
It was so, I don't. It had
like, what was she like wearing?
Flowers on it and.
It was, like, long and layered and.
Lacy.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
Like, where, I want to know.
Get a cocktail dress, woman. Get a fucking LBD. Yes. Little black dress.
Yes, that's what I want to see her
change
in.
Change your life.
And it's just some black strappy heels. I'll call it a day.
Yeah. So, there's these men there that are wearing Thank You, Sonia shirts. And one of them has slept with Luann.
Oh, my God.
And
that's
my
right.
question is, who hasn't slept with Luann?
Her vagina is. An attraction in Manhattan.
It is. It's like on a tour.
It is.
Like on a Real Housewives tour, it'll be like first stop Bethany's first apartment, second stop Luann's vagina,
uh-huh,
third stop Ramona's apartment. Like that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Scott thanks Carol for introducing him to Tinsley.
I mean, which is nice. And then she says, but you were the second guy I chose for her.
Yeah, it was a little awkward and unnecessary.
Yeah, like why?
And he was like, oh, okay. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go now.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's like...
like, she knew it was awkward.
Yeah.
She still said it. The New York theme for the party is adorable. I really like that they were passing Chinatown apps.
I know.
Like, it was so cute. Like, Tinsley did a good job with the party. Maybe not for Sonia.
Right.
But party in general.
Right. But she also had Tito's.
Yeah, Tito's is gross. I know it's really popular. All the housewives drink Tito's. They're always like, can I get a Tito's and soda?
Yeah, I don't understand why,
it's
though.
It's so gross. Let me tell you, people, I'm a vodka connoisseur.
You are.
And...
you've taught me everything I know about vodka. It's true.
My husband and his best friend went out to BevMo, and they came back with this fucking handle of Tito's. A handle, not even a fifth. A handle. And they were like, I heard Tito's was good. We're going to try some Tito's. And I was like... what?
Ew.
And so we decided to do a taste test because, of course, I keep, like, four other kinds of vodkas in my house. I have, like, some vodkas from Maui, some small batch vodkas, Belvedere, Grey Goose, Kettle, Sky. I have it all.
Right.
So we pull them all out. We do the taste test. Tito's is the worst.
Of course.
Tito's is worse than Sky vodka, people.
It's rubbing alcohol.
It's gross. It's so gross. So, anyway, side note on Tito's.
Don't drink it.
Yeah. So the drinks are Tito's. That's gross. You know, the theme before the party starts is Sonia coming. Sonia comes. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
When she comes, she doesn't like the Tito's drinks, that's for sure.
Because they're gross.
the girls are talking. They're like, we should have a wedding a year because, like, Tinsley and Scott can get married. Yeah. And Dorinda and John can get married. And Luann's like, I'm already married.
We know, bitch. We know.
Like, really? All right. At this point, like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
And
spoiler alert, you're already divorced, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bethany's a little upset at being this party. She thinks it's disingenuous.
Yeah, and
it's like Ramona's New Beginnings party, which was also disingenuous because Ramona wasn't happy about the New Beginning.
Right. No, and I agree with Bethany. I still feel it's disingenuous.
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. And Bethany kind of says, let's just be honest and party. And I was like, I like it.
Me too.
That's my philosophy. Let's be honest and party.
Done.
Tinsley has a sister named Dabney.
I know.
Where did they come up with these names?
Topper, Dabney, Trip was one of her friends. Yeah. I was like, what in the hell?
This literally is Gossip Girl.
Yeah. I was like, you caught the whitest people you could possibly get together named Trip, Topper, Tinsley, Dabney.
Dabney is not a name, though. Dabney, it's just not a name.
Topper's not a name either. Topper's what'd you name a dog? You don't name a human Topper.
Okay, that's a good point. Sonia Sonia comes to the party. She's there. She's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
She's being really rude. Unnecessarily rude, I felt.
Yeah, she was.
Harry Dubin is there. I just like to point out that Harry Dubin is everywhere. I was watching an episode of Southern Charm, and he was there, too. And I didn't understand that. There was no connection. They weren't usually on Bravo, when they have, a crossover, they still say, Harry Dubin, Real Housewives of New York. No, they didn't even mention that Harry Dubin was there. He was just there, lurking in the background.
Has he had sex with those people, too?
I'm sure he has. That is no joke.
Yeah.
So, Ramona and Bethany are at the bar, and they go deep.
They do. And you know what? It was a really good moment, and I felt like Bethany was really supportive and really kind to Sonia.
This is the Bethany I like.
Yes.
I've been turned on Bethany for a couple years, and I understand her life has been tragedy, but I like when people rise above it, and they don't become a victim of that tragedy. They don't become bitter, and I think she's on the upswing of that now.
I completely agree with you. I think she's on the rise, and I think you saw that with the way she was talking to Sonia, being like, I know it's going to happen for you. Her admitting, I know success will come for me. I know the money thing will come for me. But relationships, I'm not so good at. And I like that she made herself vulnerable, but not in a victim way.
100%. And while this is going on, there's a couple conversations happening. One is with Luann. And Luann's like, I'm so happy to be a Mrs., not a Countess Mrs., blah, blah, blah.
I love him.
Meanwhile, Tom is talking to Missy and unplugs his mic.
And
he's going to tell them the real story.
Yeah, and before that, he talks to Missy and says, oh, you make my heart skip a beat when I see you.
Yeah, it was really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was like, what in the fuck, you scumbag? Like, he really is a scumbag. I mean,
oh, God, yes.
Not that Luann's the victim here, because she's not, but he is a scumbag.
Well, which kind of made me think, and I wrote it down, is, at first, I thought it was a marriage of convenience.
Uh-huh.
That they were just, Luann was lonely. Maybe Tom was lonely. Maybe Tom needed to look like he had committed. Whatever. Mm-hmm. They got married. But now I kind of just think it was a storyline. I literally think they got married to have a storyline on reality TV.
I think she really loved him. I do. I don't know why.
I don't see it. I don't. She's not stupid.
I don't know. Just you would marry someone and spend all that money for a storyline?
Yeah.
Because
they kept her on the show. You remember, Luann wasn't a housewife for a few seasons.
Well, that's true. Well, then that's really sad and fucked up and even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
It'll be, I cannot wait for the reunion. I cannot wait.
Yes. So, Sonia and Bethany talk about the party being disingenuous. Sonia ultimately goes down to the side that it's not disingenuous.
Right, after that. Stupid speech she gave.
Yeah. Sonia gets fed the cake in her face.
Yeah, that was gross.
It was really gross and weird.
Yeah.
Noel, Luann's son, is at this party, and someone asks if Ramona is dating him.
Oh, my God. Can you even imagine?
Yeah.
He's, 19.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
He's a child.
And then they have the, end of season Housewives flash forwards, which used to be super revealing. They were something that you really wanted to know.
Uh-huh.
In this case, you learn Tinsley is still with Scott and he's moving to New York.
That's a big step.
Bethany's not selling her current house and is still working on renovations for the other.
Right.
Sonia is still with Frenchie and still has a backup plan.
Good for her.
Ramona Singer is not with anyone named Mario. Carol is doing the NYC marathon.
Yeah, I know. I follow her on Insta and I see her training all the time.
Luann, divorced or heading towards divorce.
Shocker.
And John now spends the night at Dorinda's. These are the fucking earth-shattering things that have been revealed to us by the Bravo TV gods.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's great. John's still creepy. Why are you letting him sleep at your house?
That's true. So the preview for the reunion shows the typical reunion shit. Everyone's talking over each other, yelling. They're talking about, don't talk about the families, like it's the fucking mafia.
I know. I cannot wait. I think Bethany looks phenomenal in her red dress. Tinsley looks hideous.
Actually, with the exception of Tinsley, they all look really great.
I could not agree more. Tinsley, what in the fuck? She's wearing a blue dress. It's like T-length, several layers of ruffles. It's
like her party dress.
Yeah.
Sonia's party, but short and blue.
Yeah, it's hideous.
Yes.
She looks like shit. She looks like a little girl who went to Goodwill, bought a dress for dress-up.
Yes. And I think the major revelation of the reunion preview thus far, because at this point, at the point they filmed the reunion, the divorce hadn't been made public, is that Luann was spending time in a hotel.
Yeah, he could get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, no one needs that. No one needs Tom.
Go stay with Missy. She makes your heart skip a beat. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Pretty Vulgar. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Instagram, Pretty Vulgar Podcast. So keep sending us questions, comments, articles, whatever you guys want. We love hearing from you. And if you have not, go subscribe to us and rate us with 5 stars.
Yes. And if you'd like, leave a comment. We always like that.
Yeah, we do enjoy those comments. So we will talk to you guys next week.
Don't forget, next week we have Dallas.
Yay! Bye, guys.